I was heartbroken to miss my father's funeral. His death at an early age was unexpected, and away on a semester abroad during college, I didn't make it back in time. Listening to the details a few days later from my 6 brothers and sisters, I was struck by the description of the size of the crowd as they arrived at the Cathedral of St. Matthew the Apostle in Washington, D.C. that October 1980 morning. The church's majestic nave was nearly filled. My siblings wondered who all these people were, they told me later, most of whose faces they did not recognize. As mourners came up to offer their condolences, it began to sink in that all these people were Dad's friends and colleagues from CIA headquarters and from his postings in Berlin, Mexico City, Rome, and New Delhi, all the places we had lived growing up. We had never guessed he had so many contacts, so many associates, that so many people might want to see him off. He had kept that side of his life secret. Mom and Dad had been married at St. Matthew's 29 years earlier, and only a small wedding party had been present back then. At the funeral, hundreds of people were crowding in. My father had been such an unassuming, humble person. Could all this really be for him? The coffin was a simple one, a plain pine box with no ornamentation, and it stood in contrast to the splendor of the cathedral as the pallbearers carried it down the aisle. It had been my father's wish, no frills, no adornment, his body to be wrapped in ordinary white linen. Pulverem pulveri. Dust to dust. My 3 teenage brothers carried the coffin along with 5 of my father's State Department friends, all of whom we had known well growing up. It was only later that we found out who they were in their own secret CIA lives. David Murphy, Chief of Soviet Operations, Gus Hathaway, Chief of the Counterintelligence Center, Ben Pepper, Branch Chief, Soviet Bloc Counterintelligence Group, Bill Friend, Western European Division, then retired, and George Walsh, Dhaka Station Chief. On the floor directly in front of the altar was a large engraved inscription inside a circle. Here rested the remains of President Kennedy at the Requiem Mass, November 25, 1963, before their removal to Arlington, where they lie in expectation of a heavenly resurrection. The coffin was placed on top of the engraving. George Walsh, Dad's best friend from his Boston childhood, delivered the eulogy. "We shall remember that he was forthright and direct when he spoke," he said, "and yet was kind and gentle. He was scornful of pretension and vanity. We shall remember that he was called upon to shoulder responsibility at an age when most are free to play. Yet from childhood, with many occasions to be sad, he was nevertheless known for his enduring good cheer, his unflagging good spirits, and diligence in his many duties to family, to church, to country. Strong in conviction, firm in his faith inspired faith in others." Sitting in the front pews of the cathedral listening to George speak, in their days of bewildered grief, my brothers and sisters were unaware that something strange was happening behind them. Years later, colleagues of Dad's told me that 2 men had appeared with cameras at the side door of the church and started snapping pictures. Someone rushed over and hustled them out. Then, during the communion, a disturbance took place near one of the confessional booths. Another of Dad's colleagues told me that she and a CIA workmate noticed a slight movement of the curtain in the booth. When her companion opened the door, he found a man with a telescopic lens peeking through the latticework. He grabbed the man's arm and marched him out the back of the church. The picture takers, we later found out, were working with Philip Agee. Agee was a former CIA officer who'd become disgruntled with the CIA, left the agency, and published a book, Inside the Company, CIA Diary, which had blown my father's cover, as it had those of hundreds of other officers. After the book's publication, Agee fled to Cuba and founded a magazine, Covert Action Quarterly, infamous for its naming names column, dedicated to further exposing undercover CIA personnel. Such a large collection of high-level CIA people at my father's funeral was too rich a target to ignore, so Agee's men were identifying as many as they could, a windfall for their KGB sponsor. We didn't know any of this back then. It would be years before the curtain came up enough for us to understand. We were pretty sure Mom knew some of Dad's secrets, but throughout their lives together, she was as silent about them as he was. Occasionally, after he died, she would tell us a few things, but she was never comfortable talking about it, and took most of what she knew to the grave with her when she died in 1997, 17 years after my father.